BDSM and non-standard relationships.
Power exchange and polyamory.
Sacred sexuality and fetishes.
As well as simply fun kink. You're listening to the Erotic Awakening Podcast Network.
Not be playing that at the same time that it's working. Okay, so this is Mass Seriously, the Kinky Love Advice Show, where you send us your most private voicemails, and we play them on the internet along with our shitty advice. Thank you for telling friend. That's the way we grow fastest. Call and leave a voicemail of your question, 725-444-WHIP. Be sure to include your age, gender, sexual orientation, and kink orientation if you have one. The voicemails are anonymous, and there is a new joke every week. This week's joke is superb.
I need to call. I haven't called. I heard last week's was amazing.
You're gonna miss it.
I missed last week.
Yeah, you're gonna miss them because I don't save them either. I just move forward.
I know, and you don't tell me about it.
It's a big gas pedal and a small rearview mirror. That's how we do it here. I am Masterious, and this is my slave Prism, slightly to the left and behind. Good day, Prism.
Good day, Master.
So, speaking of big gas pedals and small rear-view mirrors, just ordered new cranks for the bug.
Window cranks.
Window cranks. Our window crank broke off. This old car is falling apart, man.
I was just too powerful.
Yeah, you're a power slave, and you broke the window crank off.
Broke the window.
Well, I mean, let's take a list of, like, I can't even make a list of all that's wrong. It would take too long. This podcast would be What's Wrong with the Bug.
You don't like the bug. I like the bug. That's why I drive the bug.
I know, and I should like it. I should like it for what it is. It's not a new car.
No, it's an old car.
And it's not supposed to be a new car, and it's never going to be a new car. Mm-mm. And I bet you if you took a car from today and drove it around for 30 years...
It probably wouldn't make it.
It probably wouldn't make it, and this bug is still going. And my little girl... has it, it's betrothed to her
when she turns 25.
25, because I want her to get some driving experience. So.
It's like 9 years.
We have to keep it for at least that long. Well, yeah, we're just going to have our motor home by then.
Yeah.
Here's what I really want to do. I want to move out of this big house, and I want to move, I want a place with, like, a lot of land. And just, like, put a little... mobile home on it or something.
Yeah, so a little manufactured home.
Yeah, so that we can park our RV out there and just have our lives just very small.
Simple.
I want to get rid of all the stuff down in the garage.
Have a garden.
Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff that's in the
house. Let's do that.
Yeah, and then see if you had enough
land. We can build a big garage that we can use to do play parties in.
This is what I'm thinking is like those people on Cold Springs.
Yeah.
Cold Springs down the way, you know, the way they have it set up. Just buy land and then build on it as you want to. We can build a little dungeon.
Yeah.
You know? We can build a little sanctuary. We can start with a modular home and just add on to it like Legos. That would be so much better than this. This is
cookie
cutter.
I saw a picture one time of two trailers. I called it the old ones trailers that were like stacked on top of each other. It was a two-story.
Oh, that's pretty funny. No, I haven't seen that. Yeah, so you do have to call in. You have to do it tonight because the joke's going to change in a couple hours. So if you want to hear last week's joke, you got to do
it
now.
You should tell it on the show.
Last week's joke?
Yeah.
I can tell last week's joke. You already heard last week's joke, actually.
You just tell them as you go.
You mean like reveal it after?
Yeah. So like...
But
this
if you want to hear
revealed next,
right? Yeah. See, so if you want to hear this week's joke, you have to call,
or maybe just give us a sampling of.
Well, I'll tell
what we're missing.
I can tell
of
the
us
joke.
Who haven't called yet.
Okay, so the first
is it lame?
No, it's not lame. You laughed at it. You already heard it.
No,
it was the feather one. What's the difference between sensual and kinky? Sensual is the feather. Kinky is the whole chicken. See, you're laughing at it again.
It's because it's so lame.
That's not so lame. That's a great joke. and the first joke I told was, do you know what women like about me? And then it's long pause. I can't think of anything
either. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the first one. But if you don't like those jokes, that's okay, because this week's joke, I promise, is a real gem. It's fresh,
gem.
Fresh. It's fresh off the joke press.
Do you make these jokes up yourself?
On occasion. By make them up, I remember them from other places. That's how I make them up. Yeah. So we have a lot of calls this week, and they're pretty interesting, so I thought we would just dive right into it.
Do it.
Okay.
Let's jump in.
Do people need to know that we're naked? Is that part of our thing?
I feel like we're always naked.
Is that part of our image? Our naked image?
Our nakedness?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I thought that's how you kind of started it, was we're sitting here. I remember our first show was...
The Naked Truth. Yes.
You said we were just sitting here doing a naked podcast.
I want people to call in. 725444. Whip. I want people to call in and tell me, do you like the name Masseriously? Does it mean anything to you? I think it could become meaningful over time.
Maybe.
But it's been bugging me because we could call it something like The Naked Truth, which I think would be a lot more accessible to new people. It's not that Masseriously is a bad name. It's just somebody new doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
Whereas if you see a podcast called The Naked Truth, you're like, oh, that's about something having to do with nakedness. You know, so
truth.
Yeah, it sort of intrigues you and truth. And then when you find out it's a little love advice show, it kind of all falls into line. So I'm trying to think of differently. So if you guys have ideas for names, or if you just want to, you know, sound off and say that you like this name, please call us. Just give us a voicemail, or you can find us on FetLife, or you can text us, whatever you want to do. But let us know what you think, because this is kind of, it's been on my mind lately, because this podcast is really, it's becoming its kind of own thing. And
yeah.
I'm thinking about what that means for us. So let's play the first call though.
Hey, a question for you. I am wondering about wax play. Do you just get into it, or do you know if there is any like local ways to find people who do wax play safely? What's the best way to find someone who does wax play and who can administer that safely? I'm a 37-year-old female in Reno, and I'm straight, but I am a slave. Thank you.
So
I am interested in wax play.
Yeah. I like the questions that, I know she doesn't mean it this way, but like, how do you get into it? Like, are you allowed to just go get a candle somewhere? And are you then into wax play, or is
well,
there more
no,
to it?
I think there's a, like she said, a safe way.
Safeway has candles?
Safeway does have candles, but a way that is safe.
But any candle will do, right?
No, because some waxes get super hot and it'll, like, third degree burn your skin.
That's what you want, though, isn't
no,
it?
No, that's not what you want. You don't want boils all over your skin.
I thought that was the point.
Mm-mm.
Do you see what I'm doing right now?
I don't know what you're doing right now.
You don't know what I'm
are
doing?
Are we practicing yes and?
Yeah, I'm yes-anding you. I'm the yin for your yang. I'm playing the straight man.
This I don't know.
Straight man is the guy who just says the straight comments, doesn't, never mind. I know, but let me tell you this. I know how, I don't know what kind of candles to get, but I know how to light them. Because I saw...
I'm not even sure you know how to light them. I feel like you'd probably burn some hair off.
No, because I went to Walmart, and they have these huge lighters. They're about the size of a bottle of Tabasco sauce. They're that big. They're like jumbo lighters. You wrap them around. They're like a good porn dong.
Are they still like a Bic?
Yeah, they're just giant though. And I assume you just buy one for life, and that's all you need.
Well, I don't know.
So
I suppose not what you need it for.
But I also like those other. What are those lighters called? The torches, the little with the. You turn them on and they shoot this like sharp blue flame.
Oh, those are crack lighters.
I don't think that's the scientific
No, it's definitely not scientific.
Acetylene torch. That's
those
what I'm thinking.
Quack lighters.
Yeah, so you need one of those for your wax play. And you need some candles, you're saying, that melt at a low temperature.
Yes.
And you're saying it's safe to, like, most candles are safe. You just have to be careful.
You would want to test a small spot first.
On
from
who?
What I've read on...
on your face?
Yeah. Right on your face, right in the middle of your forehead. You can make it a design and everything, and it'll just be permanent scar.
We have a candle somewhere that we've never messed with that.
No, I know. Fully aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know why?
I have no experience
because
wax
I'm keeping
play.
You keeping you safe from these third degree burns and boils. That's why.
Well, you pour it a little bit on you, like on a sensitive area.
Kind of
like
a,
on the inside of your arm.
Like testing a bottle for a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just pour a little wax on yourself and you go, ooh.
And
I don't
want to
pour that
is.
In my baby's mouth. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So is there a certain kind of wax, or do you...
No, I don't
do
know. That
know?
Is the extent of my wax knowledge.
Okay, so don't get burned is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Don't get burned. Where do you find wax people? I feel like I see pictures
I see
of wax
a lot of
play
them online.
On FetLife.
Local guys, too.
All the time. Yeah,
local to here.
You're rustling around again.
It's going to happen.
The windows are closed today. There's no ice cream man coming by. Do not do that on the podcast. That is bad pod. It's very bad pod.
Bad pod.
Bad pod. I don't know. I see a lot of pictures online. Can you? Yeah, we don't know anything about wax play except what
you're rustling around.
I was.
You've
adjusting.
Been moving the last like minute and a half.
You shook all this pillow filth on me, and I had to get out
you
of the way.
It's on the pillows, right?
I don't. That's why
they attacked me. Remember.
Oh, yeah. Hey, maybe that should be the next prison picture.
Under attack.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah. So, that's a good segue, because my next thing here is the prison pick of the week has started. I actually sent out your first picture to everybody.
I know. One of my best girlfriends is always surprised when she sees my hoo-ha.
Yeah, and we were wondering
so
if her husband may have accidentally gotten it,
she
too.
She had to say, God damn it. How do I keep seeing your muff?
Well, if you're not signed up yet to see, just text us at 725-444-WHIP and tell us where you learned about the podcast. If you do that, you'll be signed up to receive my hand-picked exclusive prison picture of the week that you cannot find anywhere else. I don't put these anywhere else. They're on secret links, so the only way to get them is through the texting. And that's one way to support us. Thank you for supporting us. Because, see, not only can we sext if you text us, and I can send prison pictures, but
he keeps threatening to send out dick pics.
Yes, I need to make good on that, too.
Yeah, you do.
But, see, also, it's our most loyal people. And if I'm in an emergency, and I need to send out a blast for help, like a kind of like a bat signal, but more modern,
yeah.
I can send it out to my text list. And they'll all drop what they're doing
right.
to come help. So if we have like a what do they call those? A flash mob? Flash dance?
Oh, yeah.
Flash play party?
Flash
play. If we're just like one
dancing
day.
Dancing is required.
Emergency! Must have play party in 30 minutes. I can text everybody and be like, this is happening. And you need to get over
30
here.
30 minutes.
Right. And then it will reach everybody. So that's kind of my vision. And so thanks everyone for supporting us. Speaking of support, join our street team, add our event in your area, put a link to us on your profile, and bump us in your local FET groups or message boards, and you can get a shout out like our friends, Little Miss Lissa, for her tireless effort promoting us in Seattle and on Tumblr and in Reno, and for Sleepy Little Pet and her Tumblr reblogs, and a newcomer, Tickle Me Please.
I love that name.
Tickle Me Please.
I hate being tickled, but I love that name.
Yeah, now this guy, we're branching out because he doesn't live in Reno.
Right.
He's, I think, in Grass Valley.
Good.
Tickle Me Please on FET. He put our link on his profile.
Good.
So he's currently my best buddy, my favorite guy, because it's right there on the profile. I listen to the Mass Seriously podcast, and you should too. I love that. So, I don't know if we really fully answered the wax question or not at all. How do you get started in it? I would recommend that you monitor your local FET group for people who post some wax play pictures.
Yep. Just become friends with them or go to Munchies that they're at.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the way into everything is you find somebody who's already into it and doing it a little bit. And that doesn't mean you have to do everything they think.
Some of those pictures, those girls are covered from just about head to toe.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm curious how you get it off.
You get off on them while they're laying there.
No, how do you get the wax off?
Oh, you take the... Well, that's after I leave the room. I don't know. That's the cleanup. I'm not involved in that. But what I saw is
you need a tarp.
You need a tarpaulin.
Tarpaulin
for to lay down so that you don't get your bedspread or carpet
definitely.
You know, all messed up. Which tells me that it gets serious. It's not like a little drip drip drip.
Well, you have to let the candles burn for a while, like hours.
To get the
wax melted? Yeah, because they'll use the tall candles. I have those tall candles.
Are you talking about, like, what? I just set it on you and let it melt?
No. Well, there's that, too.
Why would I let it burn? Like, how's that going to make
it
more wax?
Because it takes a while for the wax to melt.
To melt into where?
Into the thing, the container.
But then it's just hard in the container again.
No, you leave it lit. OMG.
You don't know how to do this.
You have no idea what's going on right now. None.
Nipple twerk.
None at all.
We gotta listen to the next call. This is getting dangerous.
I'm a 15-year-old female submissive, and I have a question for Prism. One, are you a feminist? And two, if you are, how does that affect your role as a slave? Thank you.
I didn't hear any of that.
Yeah, I kind of got that, because I listened to it previously. So, first of all, she's laughing at my joke.
Not your joke.
She's laughing
no,
at my
she's
joke.
She's laughing at your joke.
Which was the feather in the chicken one. That's the
oh,
one,
was it?
Yeah, that's the one she's laughing at. So there's some proof positive that it's a good joke. And so is this next week's joke. So her question was for Prism. It sounded like did she say, I don't know if she said she was a slave, but...
I think she said she's a submissive.
Submissive, maybe. Okay, so she said, number one, are you a feminist? And number two, how does that affect your view on being a slave?
A feminist? Is that like women's rights and women power, girl
how do you,
power?
You don't even know.
That's what I think.
That's how far
is.
Away you are from all the politics and stuff. You don't even know what a feminist...
It's like, girl power. It's equal rights and...
But I think there's like a feminist group or movement of some kind. I'm not up on all my
together.
Groups either.
Yeah,
I don't really care what other people are doing. That's our whole problem is we sit here naked on our bed and we're not really into, you know, like being like joining a cause of some kind. So
explain then what do you think she means by feminist so I can answer the question? Because I think I know what it means, but you're saying maybe I don't.
Well, I think there's a classic view of feminism.
What's the classic view?
I am woman, hear me roar.
Okay.
That's you've heard that expression before, and that's like take back the power from the man.
Right.
That's classic feminism. I would argue there is a neo-feminism movement going on, something modern, a different view on feminism, which is that it's okay to celebrate being feminine, perhaps even to celebrate being submissive in some respects. I don't know that there's like the I don't know that they're calling themselves feminists, but I know some people who do identify as feminists who feel that way. They feel I want to experience fully what it is to be female, and to them that means being in the submissive or the service role. And you know, I don't know, like what am I trying to say?
I don't know.
You're frowning.
Just babbling now.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to. Okay, let me back up a step. Are there differences between men and women? Would you say that's true?
Yes.
Okay. Neo-feminists would like to celebrate those differences. They're not... It's not that they do not want equal rights, but that is not their battle cry anymore. So I would define it that way. I could be completely wrong, though, because, you know, we're not very informed about wax play or feminism, but...
Well, okay, so to me it's like feminists are fighting for the right to be like equal to men.
I think you want an equal opportunity.
an equal opportunity.
But you don't necessarily see yourself as equal.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, as equal with a man in every regard.
God, no. It's like, no. Physically?
Physically, no.
There's no way.
Intellectually, no.
That's right, because I'm smarter. Yeah. So you have some catching up to do.
Yeah, but no, but I do think there's a new movement out there of, hey, wait a minute, let's celebrate the differences. That's what's, I think, interesting to us, is the differences.
I don't know. I think that maybe I am a little bit feminist, because that is, I do celebrate the differences, but there's also this, you know, this strength in me of being a female, and I don't even know if it's maybe being a female, but being a slave, I have a, that's a power, and that's a power only I possess that you don't.
No, you're very strong and independent, and you encourage...
Well, not even that, but just being a slave, the dynamic between us and the exchange of power, it's not just I give up all my power and give it to you. It's, I don't know how to say it, it's a strength to do that.
I agree. I wonder if I could... maybe put it in the terms that I think about.
You're not PRISM.
No, I'm not PRISM. It's true.
I just would like to bring up this point for everybody.
That's why I haven't been talking
at
for
all.
This question.
Not even a little bit.
It's your question.
Yeah, yeah. Did I answer it?
I don't think so.
I am kind of a feminist.
Well, that's what I was trying to say was I think you are in the sense that you're very independent-minded. You are very... strong, you're resilient, and you know if you want it when girls play sports, you want to see them play hard, you want to see them play to win.
Yeah,
you think they should play sports, you think they should be rough and tumble, you think they should get down and dirty, you like going out in the woods and
right. I don't think
off.
They should try out for a football team though. I mean,
you did.
A girls' football team.
Well, yeah, not a guys' football team.
Let me rephrase that. I don't think they should try out for a boys' football team.
But see, to me, that's the same as like boxing outside of your weight division. Like what, you know, nobody.
Well, it wouldn't happen the other way around. A man couldn't go and join a woman's softball league.
No, but let's just suppose there were a woman who was equal in strength to all the men on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Then would you care?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's what I get from you.
But I don't think that women are equal in strength when it comes to physical, just hard physical strength. I mean, I think that you can get maybe close, but for a woman to be at a level to play, let's say, with the NFL, that's never going to happen. Those guys are huge.
Well, put it this way. Who do you want pulling you out of the fire and carrying you over their shoulder?
Sleepy little Butch Dyke.
Want to sleep a little pet together?
She might be really strong.
She might be, but is she going to...
She's gonna... got some little... in her.
No, I get that. But as far as kicking down a door and breaking through a wall...
I think I could kick down a door.
Well, yeah. You're totally... You're missing my point here. I'm talking about a firefighter. The house is on fire. Shit's burning.
I could pull you out.
I hope so.
I don't know if I would.
Get my guitar first.
I know. That's the command already. It's already registered.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. Get the guitar first.
You know, officer, he said, get the guitar.
No, but this is a good question because you as a power slave, you do have a lot of power. You are very powerful and you choose to live in a service role.
Yes.
So she's asking, do the two of those conflict? And I think you're saying not for you. You don't feel that you're restricted or
I don't feel
held
like
back.
My femininity, is that a word?
Yeah, it is, actually.
Is even in jeopardy.
No.
From what I'm doing. So it's not like I'm losing something of myself. I'm just gaining.
And nobody's patting you on the head and saying, oh, you're too weak to
do
that, slave.
Yes.
No, I think for us anyway, I think the service role is, I've always thought of it as a role of power equal to the master role.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not.
Yin and yang.
Yeah, it is. It's two opposites of a power spectrum, and it doesn't go from strong to weak. I think it's strong on both ends and it's weak in the middle. The more we move toward the middle, the weaker we become.
Yeah.
So we
as long as we stay on our sides.
We stay on our strong sides, and that's how it's strongest. So that's how I would draw that picture.
All right, what's the second
question? Good? Okay, good. Well, that was the second question, actually. So
what was the second question?
One, are you feminist?
Okay.
Two, how do you feel that affects you or plays into your role as a slave?
Oh.
Yeah, so we answered it.
We definitely did.
So, hey, guys, come out to our Music and Munchies next week. It is the first Tuesday of every month. Actually, it's called Mike and Munchies now because I'm turning it into an open mic because it's not just about music and it's not just about
me. I thought we were going to turn it into tying each other up.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's an ambiguous night, but we're going to keep evolving it until it turns into something that everybody loves
that
to
like.
Do. Yeah. So you just go to mysterio.us and you can check out the events there or go to the Reno FetLife. You can find them there. The Erotic Awakening Podcast Network features the internet's best selection of kink-oriented podcasts, including the original Erotic Awakening podcast with Dan and Don, The People of Kink, Multi-Amory, Great Answers Ropecast, and many, many more. You can subscribe to The People of Kink. I listened to them this week, where you can find interviews with famous and not so yet famous.
What do they talk about?
God damn it. I'm right in the middle of the live read. They're telling you what they...
And you said something to me, and I'm just practicing my yes and...
Listen, you can find interviews with famous people and not so famous yet illuminaries. Nay, beacons. Nay, lighthouses.
Ugh, rolling the eyes.
Within the kinkster community. No, it's a good one. People of Kink, he interviews just all kinds
of
different people of kink, maybe us someday. Okay, and you can subscribe to another one called Kinky and Curious, covering a wide array of kinky topics, conferences, and strange questions. You got to check that one out for yourself. I don't want to pin that one down, but I will say, if you go to eroticawakeningpodcastnetwork.com, you can find all these different podcasts. And we're all kind of banding together to help promote each other.
Super hub.
Create awareness of each other. And those are two that I wanted to give a shout out to this week. So, and you can also go to mysterio.us on our sidebar. It says play partners. I love that. It says play partners. And you can click on their link in there. Let's listen to the next voicemail.
Curious, I'm a 21-year-old female, and I wanted to know what you find the most important part of an MS relationship to be. Thank you. Bye.
When the day's finally over and you get to fall asleep, cuddle up next to your warm little slave, and do whatever you want. Most of the time, that
sleep.
Involves sleep. Now, I have a certain way that I like to snuggle up to her, and we have a whole routine a falling asleep routine that we go through, where first I snuzzle her, you know, I'm the outside spoon, and I keep her in place with my hard penis wedged in there. That's to make sure she doesn't roll out of bed or something.
So you don't fall out of bed.
Yeah. And then I'll fall asleep and she does this thing where just as I'm about to drift off to that point where if somebody went, psst, you'd like startle awake again. Just before that, somehow she knows and she stirs and I know it's my turn to turn over and then she becomes the outside spoon and it's
and
her
I
hard
locked
penis.
You in with my penis.
Yeah. Your hard penis secures me. And that's how we actually fall asleep is with her doing the outside spooning, which is
with my penis.
Very interesting. I get all cuzzled in there and, you know, so for all of you who think the master has to do all the holding all night long, not the case. Not true. Slaves.
That's probably why I couldn't sleep the other night when I was gone, because I didn't have my penis locked in anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
It was cold.
I just kind of folded your pillow around my penis and slept that way. So
I took
I meant to tell you about that.
Curve.
Oh,
your pillow.
Yeah, so I think that's a pretty important part of an MS relationship, but I know that's not
snuggling.
What you... Yeah, snuggling, but I know that's not what you meant. Gosh, I don't know. How deep do you want to dive on this?
Oh,
commands? Are commands really important. Having fun. I think we were talking about this on a previous podcast.
Time.
You really, I mean, as much as you want to dig into all the dynamics and protocols and commands and how closely they're followed and pleasing the master and living in service and all of these idealed principles that you have, you really need to snuggle and have fun, because that is, I think, the goal of any relationship, however you work it. And if you're not snuggling and having fun, you really got to take a hard look at whether you have the right configuration for you and your significant other slash others. So I would say the most important part of MS is not to lose sight of the overarching goals. Your goal, you, okay, so my goal is not to be a master and your goal is not to be a slave, in as much as our goal is to have a successful, healthy, fun, vibrant relationship. And we think that this is the way to do it. So never confuse the means for the end.
Right.
Get what I'm saying? So the most
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
You are. You're picking up. You're smelling what I'm tooting.
I'm not smelling what you're tooting.
So the most important part is not to lose sight of your goals and to remember to have the fun and snuggle. But within the dynamics of an MS relationship, which maybe is what she was asking about, what is most important about how to structure an MS relationship?
Are you answering this question again?
I'm answering it a different way.
You answered it twice now.
Well, I'm answering it one from the outside and the second from the inside. The inside is within the dynamics of an MS relationship, what is most important? That might be her question. I kind of think that might have been her question. She didn't want to hear us tell her to snuggle. She wanted to hear us talk about masters and slaves and what's most important to maintain that connection. Do you get what I'm saying?
I do.
I feel like that's probably what her question
was. So did you answer that?
I answered the other one, about the snuggling and having fun.
Yeah.
And so, and now I'm saying one very important, and you'll hear this over and over again, a slave is not born an expert slave, and a master is not born an expert master. So you guys have to recognize each other's current limitations, where you are, and you have to be willing to work within those, realizing that your master may not be the perfect master that you ultimately desire. He might not give you the perfect commands in the perfectly clear way or be perfectly consistent about his commands, or he might respond the wrong way to some way that you react to a command, or flip it around. Your slave, she's not going to be the perfect slave. She may not, your slave may not react to a command the way you meant for the command to be followed. Or your slave may not be capable of executing a command right now. So you have to recognize, I don't even know if it's so if I'm talking about boundaries as just kind of current limitations, the same as if you went to work out, you know, don't try to bench press too much weight all at once. Don't try to stretch farther than you can, you know, that kind of stuff. It's just, you gotta start easy.
Don't do the splits the first day out.
Exactly. Try not to, unless you're me.
You can't do the splits.
I pretty much can do the splits.
You got pretty low that day you were wearing my shorts though.
Yeah, and without shorts, I'm even better. That's why, I mean, we can go out onto the lawn right now. I'll show you.
Do it.
No, because I got...
Do it. That's going to be next week's pick.
In martial arts, I got really low.
Doing splits over the bar with the pants on.
With the blue lights in the background.
And all the little kids.
All right, so... So, caller, to sum it up, most important part from the outside... Have fun. Don't lose sight of why you're doing it in the first place. Snuggle. From the inside, understand each other's current boundaries and limitations and work within those without getting frustrated that they have some sort of permanence that you'll never get past, and without getting frustrated that your slave or your master are not being the slave or the master you want, but just recognize that they are... It's a work in progress. You're both working toward your roles. You're working toward those extremes that I described as being strong, right? You're starting from somewhere less than that, and you're working toward your opposite ends. But it's a journey. So recognize that. I think that is a very important thing to keep in mind as you go through MS. So, hey, if you're sitting at work and you want to get fired, a great way to do it is to crank Kinky Spirits Radio through your speakers all day long. Kinky Spirits Radio streams a hand-picked selection of kink music and shows like ours from kinkyspiritsradio.com. Our show airs exclusively on Kinky Spirits Radio every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Pacific. And so if you're a streaming kind of person and you want to go hear it there, that's another great way to discover a lot of diversity all at once, right? You go to stream whatever. It's curated, you know, it's streaming to you. They're choosing what you listen to next. And so you get to hear stuff that you may not have picked up on your own. Aren't you impressed with that? That's the beauty.
I am extremely impressed with that.
Yeah. That's the beauty of streaming versus podcast. See, the podcast, you got to hear about it. You got to go find it. You got to decide that, okay, I'm going to go download or subscribe to this one and listen to it. Streaming radio, no, you just
turn it on.
You just turn it on and you see what's happening. Yeah. And you'll see us happening on there. You'll
do
hear
they have
us
music on there, or is it just podcasts?
No, it's music, it's podcasts, it's very...
What kind of music? Do they have kink music on there?
I feel like it is, yeah. Like, I heard some, I want to say like metal, but I think it was like kink-themed metal, or at least suggestive of, I'm sure...
Is it just metal?
No, I don't think so. No, the station is something, I'm not sure he's really finalized his format yet. So that's the fun of it though, right? Is you can go listen kinkyspiritsradio.com and even give feedback, or you can say, hey, I want to hear more, you know, kink music. I want to hear some country kink music. we'll talk about that later, but let's get to the next call.
Hi, Mysterious. I was just wondering, in a new DS relationship, what kind of negotiations should you talk about or go through?
Oh, that's really weird, because we just kind of talked about a little bit about that with MS, like, you know, the understanding of boundaries and limitations and things like that. Now, for DS, I mean, you know, again, we're having to split hairs here, and maybe we shouldn't between MS and DS, but DS, I view just from who I know and what my experience with it is, and this could be wrong, and I don't want to offend anybody who's got a really serious DS relationship, but I look at it as kind of a part-time thing, or more of a recreational, you know, exchange. The DS relationship versus MS has that you know, permanence, that feel of permanence to it. That
there's still contracts involved with both of them.
Well, that's what I was going to get to is you know, with DS, I think that you know, that's where you begin this idea of needing to discuss up front what the boundaries are, in terms of, especially in terms of, you know, the play aspect, right? The sexual play. But, you know, I would also talk about some other boundaries, like just, you know, when you're out and about, what's your expectation for what your roles are with each other? How do you address each other? How do you address other people? How does this DS thing work? And maybe focus less on whether it's technically DS or MS or how you want to define that, and focus more on, you know, what you want the relationship to be. Less on the label, more on the reality. And yeah. And I think that does start with, you know, boundaries too are, people do increase their boundaries or change their boundaries over time. And so I want to encourage everyone not to, when you're negotiating a starting point with somebody, that's what it is. It's a starting point. And you might want to tell the person, you know, this is where I eventually want to get to. Right. But we're not starting there. And that's, I think, a good discussion to have up front. But you also have to realize this happens all the time, for good or for bad. People change their minds in the middle of the relationship, and they realize they want something more or different, or they thought they wanted something and now they don't, or something else changed. And, you know, is it noble and romantic to expect somebody to stick with what they told you in the beginning? Yes, absolutely. Is it realistic? Probably not. I see a lot of relationships that get stuck on that.
Yeah, it depends, I think, too, on, you know, what you want out of your DS relationship. Is this something that is long-term? If it is, then that's maybe a different type of contract. Whereas if it's something where there's a time limit to it, where we're going to play for 6 months, here's my do's and don't list, and then at the end of 6 months, it's, you know, are we going to continue? Well, then we draft another contract, or you move on. I know there's people out there who do that.
Yeah, and that's a really, really good way of putting it, because I do view DS as more transactional like that. Like,
even with a master and slave.
Yeah, but
I don't think that is a permanent situation for all masters and slave. I don't think categorizing it in that way is always fair, because there are people who will just be a slave for a set period of time, so maybe they could learn some new skills and they want to build their slave resume.
Yes, yes. But I think I can say with certainty, I'm not into scat play in the next 3 months.
I bet you're wrong.
But I cannot say with certainty that I'm not into scat play for the rest of my life. You see, so I do think you brought up a really good point. Is it a long-term negotiation or a shorter-term negotiation?
I feel like maybe they should all be short-term negotiations, because if it's until you get to the point where there's no more contract needed.
When is that?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, you can call it a contract, too. I just think, like, people always have limits and boundaries and hurdles and strengths and weaknesses, and you have to know what those are. And that's just part of, I mean, you can talk about it in terms of negotiating, but it's really just knowing what your partner is capable of, what they're interested in, what direction they're headed.
Well, and that's what the contract is. That's what they get together and they go over. It's the whole formality of the relationships that we're in of, I want to do wax play, but I'm not interested in doing anal hooks.
You're not?
No, that's what you had on yours.
I had what?
No anal hooks for you.
Did I say that?
Yes.
See, never say never.
That's why I have roofies.
Yeah, well, that's why I have an anal hook right now in me. I don't know. It's kind of like anything.
You don't
like,
believe in contracts.
Well,
you don't think that they, you feel, my interpretation is that they impede or inhibit the relationship of master and slave.
I think that it is so difficult to define all the ways that a relationship could evolve that, to my mind, it's impossible to write that down and say this is now what we're talking about. I mean,
well, I don't think that a contract either is very, I mean, it's set until the two get together and decide, let's change these parts.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like professionally over the last 20 years, every time somebody's put a business plan in front of me, I knew immediately that nothing in there was going to go according to the business plan, because as soon as reality sets in, you throw the business plan out the window and you go into a different mode of, call it, you know, survival or something, but it's,
like, I still think it's good though. It's like, it's like a hub.
It's good
to come back to and regroup and say, okay,
what are we doing?
Happened?
What are we doing?
Yeah.
Are we still going the same direction? Yes. Let's all get on the northbound train. There's a whole northbound train metaphor about this. You want everybody going the same direction. I agree with that. I do agree that those are good talks to have. Maybe write it down if you want to. God knows I forget enough of what
yeah.
we talk about. That, you know,
that's,
you say no
recording.
Anal hooks, and then there's an anal hook in you the next day because I don't remember. So, you know, it's very convenient for me, this ability I have.
This I don't
to
think
have the conversation and
yeah,
not have it.
It's definitely the things you want to forget about.
Yeah, it's selective.
It's very planned.
It's very, yeah, because I have
ignorance.
I have a plan.
That's what I call it. Planned
ignorance. So, yeah, you can write it down and stick with it.
Well, too, as a new person, like a newbie, isn't that what she said? Like negotiations for a new DS couple?
I don't know. That question was way, way back there.
I think that's what she said. I think that's, you know, good to sit down and talk about it, whether it's, you know, a written contract, a verbal contract, or...
And certainly the less you know, like the less familiar you are with the person.
Are you getting ready to move on to the next phone call?
I'm just looking at where it is. Yeah. I was sort of thinking we were done with this one.
You're always done with it before I am.
And you're just getting into it.
You make me lose my whole train of thought. Yeah. That's because you jump the gun right after the question is over.
You were talking about,
and you start talking.
You were talking about it's important.
What happened to your 5-second rule?
Well, that wasn't working last week. That didn't make a good pod. We got a lot of hate calls.
Did not get any calls whatsoever from that.
You were talking about how the less you know about the person, the more you might need a contract.
Right. If you're new to the DS dynamic or just finally have a partner, it is good to, you know, tell them everything you're into, because then what if you don't tell them I'm into this, and they'll never know. And then you can lose out, too.
Did you turn that fan off, by the way?
I did. It was cold in here.
Oh, okay. I thought we lost power or something.
No, we're still live.
Yeah. So I'm counting to 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm all done. End scene.
Okay. All right. So our very own, well, we talked about the Mike and Munchies. It happens in a week from now, and then later...
Next Tuesday.
Yeah, right. Poetry songs, whatever we got. I don't know. We'll have to see how that turns out. But on the 20th, that's the rager.
Thought it was the 18th.
It's a Saturday. I don't know. It's the CD. No, it was... It was June 20th. Now it's July 18th.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I got to get going on this.
Yeah.
It's the CD release party for the Unleashed CD. It's an album of original lifestyle music by moi. You can find out a little bit about it at mysterio.us. I got to admit that it's been backburnered a little bit by this podcast.
I know. Do you even have what you need for this?
Well, I have my six-pack.
You like to wait until... I know you have that. You've had that for a while. Do you have your CDs?
I have them visualized.
Yeah. That's the last place you were at, like, 3 months ago, too.
I'm still visualizing them.
You got to have CDs to hand out.
I know. I got to lay down the tracks, too.
It's a CD release party.
I know. I got to do that. I got
to just lay down blank ones and say, we'll get them to you later.
I was thinking about that, but no, I want to do a t-shirt and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, are you doing a t-shirt?
I'm going to do a t-shirt for the CD. All right. And then maybe just some kind of Mysterious and Prism shirt would be kind of cool. I think something like that.
Prism. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually thinking of, like, two different t-shirts, like a shirt for you that says something about me, and then one for me that says...
No, it should just say Mysterious, and then mine would say End Prism.
Yeah, and then people could wear around the End Prism shirts, and other people could wear around the Mysterious shirts.
Mm-hmm.
We'd just be, like, walking through Meadowood Mall, and be like, look at that guy. He's got on his Prism shirt.
Yeah.
Or his Mysterious.
Yeah, he's got his Prism shirt. That is the shirt you want. You want one of those
sexy
cute
little tank tops.
Show off your cute little belly.
Look at him and his little muscle nips poking through that tank top.
Muscle nips. Don't look. Look away.
All right, we're going to listen to the last call.
Okay.
Yes, I'm Slade in Reno, and thank you, sir, for taking my call. I was wondering what is your thoughts on how long is an acceptable time before you are collared by a master? If you could please answer that question.
I say about an hour.
An hour sounds good to me. I mean, it didn't take me longer than that to know I wanted your little roller skating ass.
Roller skating ass.
Yeah.
It took me longer to know that I wanted your little roller skating ass.
Yeah, I need to get out on those roller skates, too.
Yeah, you got them for your birthday.
I know. I didn't get them for my birthday at all. They were not for my birthday.
Oh, no, it was for Father's Day.
Oh, my God. Did I tell you I wore my dad shirt out?
Like, you've worn it out several times when I'm not around and I'm
Well,
not
like,
here
down to the pool is one thing, but no, I I went out. I went.
Like, I think it looks good on you, so.
I went out, and this group of, like, I don't even know, they were, like, they looked like cheerleaders, but they were wearing, like, an Aces kind of thing.
Totally blew it for you, huh?
And I was like, fuck, I got my
God damn it, they know I'm a dad.
Dad shirt on. Kids, go run.
Hi.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
put
so.
Put your arms over it, just.
Hey, ladies. what you doing at Chipotle right now?
You're at Chipotle. I don't.
What kids? No, those, I don't know.
Who?
They were.
I don't know what's going on.
Somebody walked out, I'm not sure.
Just step over to my van.
Yeah, it's okay, I'm right over here. So, what are we even talking about?
I don't know, that's not even what the question was.
Oh, my dad's shirt. You gotta be careful where you wear that. Okay, so wait, let me unwind. I was talking about dad shirts.
No, we're talking about collars. When should you be collared? I don't know.
How soon?
We...
Roller skates. I gotta go roller skating.
Oh, yeah,
we're back
in.
We're coming back. We're tracing backstepping
all right,
here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so roller skate masses. I knew pretty quick that this one would do nicely. And you know, You want to stay outcome independent as long as you can, but, you know, once you start crushing on somebody, that's kind
of
hard to do.
Be wary of crushing on somebody.
Yeah.
It does not translate into, let's collar me.
See, and here's an example of like, the stereotypical female is the one who is supposed to just fall head over heels in love.
Uh-uh, that's not me.
That's not you, that's me. I'm the
know.
One who, I fall in love with...
You have little doe eyes the first night I met you.
Yeah, it doesn't take much
that's
for me at all.
That's why I was like, I'm never going to see this one again.
Yeah.
I wasn't
I'm
coming
falling
back.
In love right now. I'm doing it. It's happening right now on this podcast.
You're always in love with me.
I know.
You give me googly eyes.
I know, but no, it's easy for me. But... How long do you wait before you get collared? Now, there's kind of an interesting question. And it depends on what you...
How long have I been collared? A year and a half?
Well, two Christmases ago.
Two Christmases
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, maybe
so
about a year and a half.
14?
Yeah.
So that was like a year.
You were in your training collar.
I was training collar.
For a year. Because here's the thing about how we define MS. It's permanent. You're collared, and that is a permanent bond. That collar's never... I've told you before, I'm never taking that collar off.
Right.
You're free to take it off and leave if you... That would be the only way that collar comes off, is if you took it off. And for you, the only way it comes off is if I take it off.
Right.
So nobody's taking that collar off. And that's got a degree of permanence to it that, honestly, I view as more enduring than marriage, because marriage is come undone all the time. I guess you could argue slaves come uncollared all the time too.
Yes.
But not my slave. So, for me, it was, you know, the highest degree of permanence is what it meant to me. Now, how long do you wait before you do that with somebody? Well, you know.
Well, are
that's
we talking
a
like a your own type of collar, or is it a training collar?
I assume
there's like
just
a flow.
About.
There's a flow to how things go. We just did it however we wanted to do it, but like traditionally, there's a consideration period where you don't even have a training collar, and then it's like, okay, I'm willing to train you now, so here's your training collar.
See, that's weird to me though. That whole like, I'll let you know. If I'm ready to train you, as if that's all there is to it, like the slave.
If I want to train you.
Yeah, but that's only half of it. Do you want to be trained by me? That's the other half of it.
Well, obviously, if I'm coming to you to train me, then that would be, yeah.
Oh,
so,
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, the master would have
that's
to
pretty true,
choose and decide if they wanted to train the slave.
So the slave is supposed to come ask for training?
Yeah, kind of makes sense.
Yeah, okay. I guess that...
Be like, would you consider training me?
I see.
I'm interested in these things, and I saw in FetLife you like to put anal hooks in, and that's
mm-hmm.
something I'm
mm-hmm.
looking into right now.
No, okay, all right. No, I'm on board now. Yeah, consideration period, okay.
And then the training collar comes on.
And the training collar means what? How is that different from the consideration period?
Well, the consideration, you're not being trained or anything.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The training collar comes on, and that's when you start your training with your potential Dom master. Or just, maybe it just stays like that. Maybe you're just training just to learn some new skills, learn a couple tricks.
So is...
And you're never going to be permanently collared by this person.
So does this parallel dating and engagement ring and then wedding ring?
No, I don't. I wouldn't say so, because if you are just training for the fact that, you know, you want to learn how to play with candles, or, you know, how to do fire play, you want to learn how to do that. And there's this one person who knows how to do that, and that's your interest. That's the extent of your interest with this one person.
It's like a skills-based relationship,
yeah.
not a romantic
involvement. So, in that sense, it wouldn't be, like, the engagement ring would make no sense for that stage. Because you're not settling.
Yeah.
You're just learning a skill, and then you're going to move on.
Yeah, it really comes down to, you know, what meaning you place on these different collars that we're talking about, because... You know, I could make a case for if you're just looking to pick up skills from somebody, maybe you're not really their slave at all, or you're just a student, right?
Yeah, you're just submissive. You're still going to be their submissive or their slave. You're their slave in training, because that's the role you're learning.
But you can't wear two collars at the same time. You can't have two masters, I think is kind of axiomatic. To this whole
I don't know.
Philosophy.
There are people who have more than one master.
There are?
Yeah.
I've never met anybody like
we
that.
We did. We met one at, I think, the Mass Reno one.
Are you talking about the slave?
Yeah.
Now that was like a sub-slave. Like a... Well, actually, I don't know who was the master.
He belonged to both of them.
Oh. I see what you're saying. No, but... He was, well, okay, so maybe it can happen. I don't know if that's actually what that particular one was, but I get what
or
you're saying.
Or what if it was a dynamic where it's a master and a slave, but in with this particular submissive, the slave is that submissive master as well as the master is that
I didn't understand
master.
Any of that. I just want to know, can you wear two collars?
I think...
Will you eventually be like one of those, the National Geographic, with all the rings
all
stacked up?
Yeah. God, I hope so.
I don't know.
You never can take those off because you'll die.
It can get very deep and it can spin out in a lot of directions, as you can hear. So how long do you wait to be collared? Let's assume you're talking about this end
owned.
Goal
yes.
owned, right? How long do you wait for somebody to own you? Well, I mean, how long is it going to take you to find that person who you want to own you? I think is kind of...
No, that doesn't play, because then it starts from, you find your person that you want to own, that you would be interested in owning you, and then you do your training period to see if...
But are you saying you can always know right up front, this is definitely the person I want to own me? I mean, the training...
I don't think so.
The training period is for you too, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
at some
definitely.
Point there, you can just say...
Well, and that's where your negotiations and your contract comes in.
Right, right.
Where it's like, okay, here's what we're doing. This is your training period. At the end of this training period, we're either done or, you know... I'm going to give you, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm going to offer you my collar.
Right. And if at some point during all of that, one or both of you change your minds, you're free to go. And that's what I'm saying is, how long does that process take? For us, it took a year before I was ready to tell you, I want to own you. And this is what it means to me. It means that, you know, it means total power exchange.
Right.
And I want to know when you're ready for that is kind of how I approached it with you is like, I feel ready for it. And you thought about it a little bit, you
I
know?
Did.
So for us, it took a year. That doesn't mean a year is what everybody needs.
Well, then you look at these, you know, we've met some couples who've been together for 30 plus years and they're just now looking into it. Why would they wait a year? I mean, you know.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
That would
yeah.
just be like, let's do this. All right, here's your caller. All right, let's go.
Yeah. So I want everybody to call next week. This week was a little light on calls. 725-444-WHIP. All you got to do is leave a voicemail. Come on, it takes a minute. You can even make up the question. Support us, though. Get this thing. We got to get the momentum going so that this thing spreads. We want to spread the word. We want you to help spread the word because, I mean, we can talk about the podcast all the time, but we could say it 1,000 times. You saying it one time means more to other people than us saying it 100 times or 1,000 times. So we do need your support. You can go to Mysterio.us. You can sign up for Prism Pictures through the texting. You can see what's going on at Mysterio.us. You can check out all the other podcasts. You know, get as involved as you want to get. We're having a lot of fun doing this, so it's going to keep going. And I want to hear your question next week. Fair?
Fair.
All right. We'll see everybody next
question?
Week. No, what? No, just I was just asking, are we done?
Hold the call.
Are you done? Do you want to say anything else? Any other announcements?
Nope.
Okay, let's end with a squeal.